And welcome back to The Undefeated. I'm Will, here with Chase and Anthony. How are y'all doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, I'm doing great too.
No need to dilly-dally around. We're going to hop right into things, and we're going to start out talking about some NFL draft prospects and where we think their best fits are. We're going to start out with quarterback Mac Jones. Anthony, where do you think his best fit is in the NFL?
I think it's with Washington. They have a great team. They're loading up on offense. They have Terry McLaurin and now Curtis Samuel. They have Antonio Gibson, who was a star his rookie year. I think him going there and being under Fitzpatrick for a year could really help him. Do I think he'll make it to them? No, but I think he's the perfect fit for Washington.
I don't know about that one, but it makes sense. I just don't think it's the best fit. What do you think his best fit is, Chase?
I think his best fit is the Patriots. I think he'd probably make it that far. I feel like after his pro day, he kind of dropped a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think he'll make it to the Patriots. And I think, I don't know if sitting behind Cam Newton will do all that much for him, but being with Bill Belichick will definitely help him.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I would say it was with the Patriots because Tom Brady was there, Bill Belichick was there. But I think now if the Patriots do go quarterback, I really would like the fit there. But I think if they go quarterback, they're going to get someone who plays like Cam Newton. So they're probably going to try to go for a Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Or maybe even Kellen Mond in the second round. But I think that the best potential fit for Mac Jones is, well, it's the 49ers, I guess. I think that you give him a pass-heavy offense, which he had at Alabama. You give him speed weapons, which he also had at Alabama. I think that Shanahan's offense is perfect for him because you just need a role-player guy. A game manager to play the quarterback position in a Kyle Shanahan offense. He managed to go to the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing less than 100 passes in the playoffs. So I think his best fit is with the 49ers. Do I think he goes there? No, because I think he's not that good of a quarterback. But I think his best fit would be with them. The next prospect that I think that is up in the air on where he would go and has a fits in a couple of different places is linebacker Micah Parsons out of Penn State. Where do you think his best fit is, Chase?
I feel like everyone ranks him within the top 10. I don't think he's that good of a player. Obviously, there's a lot of different opinions. I've seen a lot of mock drafts where he's in the top 10 and others where he's not drafted until the 20s. But I think his best position, I really can't think of a team.
Do you want us to come back?
Yeah, come back to me. I'll think about it.
Anthony, where do you think Parsons' best fit is?
I don't think he'll make it this far, but I think it's perfect. He would be with the Cardinals. I mean, they already have some speed linebackers. I think he would be in the great coverage game for them. He's great in coverage. I think that's what they need to kind of complete that linebacker. I know they took Isaiah Simmons last year, but I just think Micah Parsons would complete that defense.
I think Parsons' best fit would be with a team like the Dolphins. I think that he's a raw player. He's got the athletic traits. That's why he's ranked so high. He's had a monster pro day. He's a freak athlete. And I think that with the Dolphins, they're trying to build the young defense. They have the secondary most of the way there. And the only position that I think that they really need on that in that secondary is maybe a safety. But their corners are good. Their defensive line is young and up and coming. So I think if you get a young freak athlete linebacker to put in there, it'll help that defense grow over the next couple of years, and I think that's the perfect role for Parsons to fill.
You know, I'm gonna say I think his perfect fit is with the Giants. I think the Giants need another pass rusher in a division that has Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott. I think that would definitely help them if they drafted him.
Yeah, I could see the Giants, but I don't think they go in just because they have Blake Martinez already, who can get around the field really well. The next player who I really like, this guy, Trayvon Morrig out of TCU, the safety. Anthony, where do you think his best fit is?
I think his best fit would be with the Dallas Cowboys. I think that I know they got DeMonte Kazee in free agency. I just don't think that they have the true best safety. I think Trayvon Morrig would be an easy day one starter for them. He's a ball hawk. He knows he's great in coverage. I think him going to Dallas would help out their secondary huge. But the only thing I can see them getting him is if they trade down, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think they trade down either. But Chase, where do you think his best fit is?
I'm going to agree with Anthony. I think the Dallas Cowboys need a lot of help in the secondary, and I think it'd be very wise for them to trade back in the first round, get some more talent, more draft picks, because they need a lot of help.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from on the Cowboys, but I think his best fit is with the Bears. I think that you put him side by side with a safety like Eddie Jackson. I think that that's going to be you can have him just develop with Eddie Jackson with that defense that has Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith. I think that they can make that defense just a little bit younger, and I think Morig is the perfect fit just there on the Bears as a free safety guy. And the next prospect we have to talk about, but before we talk about him, is J.C. Horn. But before we talk about him, what Trayvon Morig to the Cowboys is a nice idea, but if you see them trading back, who do you see them trading back with? And I'm going to start out with Chase on this one.
I think they trade back with the Patriots, and the Patriots draft a quarterback.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that one. Anthony?
Yeah, I see Patriots. I could also see Chicago. They're desperate for a quarterback. I think I see them trading up.
Chicago's not desperate for a quarterback. They should be, but they're not. They just They cut an all-pro corner so that they could sign Andy Dalton, which shows that they have some faith in Andy Dalton for some reason. But it is what it is. But moving on to our next prospect, J.C. Horn, where do you think his best fit is, Anthony?
Before the trade, this would have been a better fit, but obviously since they're up to three now, they won't be able to. I think his perfect fit would have been the 49ers. He's a ball hawk. He's a ball-dominant quarterback corner. I think he could go in and replace Richard Sherman easily on the outside. I think that would, you know, help that secondary. I mean, it's not a bad secondary, but I think a young prospect like him would have been very good. He ran, I don't remember what it was, but it was under 4.40. I think he's just a super player. I think the 49ers would have been his best fit, but he won't be going there anymore.
Yeah, the 49ers are either going quarterback or they might shock everyone and take Ja'Marr Chase. That's a possibility. It's not a likely, but I could see it happening. But, Chase, where do you think Horn's best fit is?
I think Horn's best fit, I'm going to say it's the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like the Dallas Cowboys are going to draft a corner at 10, whether it's Surtain or if it's
Horn or Farley.
Yeah. I completely forgot his name for a second. But he's a freak athlete. I don't know if he's – I know he's – Surtain's probably the better, like, position player, but he's a better – J.C. Horn's a better player. Better athlete. I think either one could be the first corner taken.
Yeah, I think it's just gonna. I think it's gonna be Surtain. Not to be contradictory, just to be contradictory. I think Surtain is more NFL ready. I think Horn is a guy that's gonna take a year or two to understand the game. While Surtain has a good chance to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think that the best fit for J.C. Horn is probably with the Falcons. And I think not at four. I think that the Falcons are going to end up trading back at some point with a team that wants to go up and snab either Trey Lance or Justin Fields. And I think that the Falcons, they need a secondary right now. I think they need a corner who's going to come in there. I understand that they took one in the first round last year, if I'm not mistaken, but you need a secondary. Your linebacking core is all right. You need secondary and pass rushers, and I think that Horn would go in there and be a ball-dominant player. And especially in an NFC South, I think that putting him up against Michael Thomas twice a year, putting him up against Robbie Anderson twice a year, or DJ Moore twice a year, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin twice a year, I think that you just need to make an effort, or at least look like you're trying to make an effort, to be able to stop the receivers of the NFC South. And that's all the prospects that we're going to go over this week. Next week, we're going to talk about a lot more as the draft becomes closer to us. But, yes, the other day, wide receiver Julian Edelman was cut and then officially retired from football after a failed physical. Julian Edelman spent his entire career with the New England Patriots and won three Super Bowls as well as a Super Bowl MVP. Is Julian Edelman going to be a Hall of Famer, Anthony?
This is a tough question. I mean, I think he definitely should be in conversation for it. Do I think he'll get it? Probably not. But, I mean, the Patriots, they don't win three Super Bowls without him. He was an integral part to the winning against the Falcons. He's just always been Tom Brady's go-to guy. And he was Cam Newton's until he got injured last season. It's sad to see that he retired. He was a great player, a great career. I could easily see him being in it, but I just don't think that, you know, the rest of the NFL will.
I don't think he is, but I'll give my two cents on it in a minute after Chase gives us his two cents about it.
I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer. 3 Super Bowls and a Super Bowl MVP. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, I think he's definitely in the second time around. Like Anthony said, the Patriots don't win those Super Bowls without him. Super Bowl MVP, I think he's got too much that he's accomplished to not be in the Hall of Fame.
I think that his regular season stats alone wouldn't get him into the Hall of Fame. His postseason stats, though, are what will probably, in my opinion, is what's going to push him into the Hall of Fame. Because in the regular season, I mean, he was never anything special. Him and Tom Brady always turned it to a new level in the playoffs. So I think he will be one, but it's not going to be anytime soon. I just think that the 3 Super Bowls definitely helped. The MVP definitely helps, but his playoff stats are really what's going to carry him, as I've said 4 different times. But yeah, he only had 6,800 career receiving yards, which over 12 seasons isn't really that good, if we're being honest with ourselves. But somehow in the playoffs, he always became the best receiver in the NFL. So I think he'll get in, but not anytime soon. Another move that we saw in football was the Cardinals signing running back James Conner out of free agency to a 1-year deal to be the new starter in the backfield. Is this a good move for the Cardinals? And I'm going to start out with Chase.
I think it's a decent move. I mean, they didn't really have anyone else to play running back, did they? Didn't they sign somebody else?
I think they actually lost Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, that's Kenyon Drake, though. I think it's a pretty good signing. How much did they sign him for, do you know?
Not off the top of my head.
But, I mean, if it's a good deal, then it's better than what they have.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a good deal if he can stay healthy.
It was like 1 year, $10 million or something.
It's a pretty all right deal.
1 year, $1.75 million contract.
Okay, I was wrong.
I think it's a good deal just because you're getting him for so cheap. But if he can stay healthy, he's a good
guy. They still have Edmonds, right?
Yeah.
I believe so.
I mean, it's an all right deal. It's just a, like, position signing, more depth. Yeah. If you're signing him for 1 point, whatever, million, then you're beating him on a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
He had one really good year. And, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive line wasn't really that good in the last couple years after that.
And he couldn't stay healthy after that.
Maybe he'd turn it around with the Cardinals.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Low risk, high ceiling, high reward.
Anthony, what do you think about this signing?
I don't hate it. I think it's a good move for them. They needed a new running back after Kenyon Drake left, and they didn't really know who that number one was. And now they're going to have a real battle in the offseason. And I think it just kind of helps out that offense, which we already know is stacked. But, I mean, offensive line is still their bigger need.
Offensive line, I think, is a very big need for them. I like the Connor signing, as I said, if he can stay healthy. But I think that they're signing him, and I think that they're probably going to take someone in the draft just because of Connor's injury concerns, and you need to have – and I'm pretty sure Edmonds is coming off of a pretty significant injury, if I'm not mistaken. I could be. But I think that Connor is a nice piece. As I said, he's a great piece when he's healthy. He's good if he's playing and he's injured, he's okay. But if he's not, he's just a wasted roster spot. And that's all we have for football for the moment. We're going to move over to baseball as the Padres sweep the Rangers with 2 wins as Manny Machado and Trent Grisham hit home runs as the Rangers left 10 on base, including an inning-ending strikeout when they had the bases loaded. Joe Musgrove also threw the franchise's ever first no-hitter in the first game of the series. Can the Padres continue to dominate even without Tatis? I'm going to start out with Anthony on this one.
Yeah, I think they can. I think Manny Machado has shown that he can do it all. He was designated hitter on Sunday, and he still went on and hit a home run. Trent Grisham, he can hit really well as well. I think this team, even without Tatis, they're superstar. I think they're just a winning machine. They can hit anywhere. They have hitters all over the field. I think they'll be good. I think they'll be fine this season.
Chase?
I'll agree with Anthony on this one. Even though the Rangers absolutely suck, I think they definitely showed out and showed what potential they have for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think that they'll be able to be able to win pretty consistently, but I don't think they're going to dominate without Tatis. I think that their pitching needs some serious help. I mean, I understand that they didn't have Blake Snell, the pitcher who was pulled in the World Series last year, but they switched pitchers before the end of the second inning. In the second game. I just think that Tatis is really valuable. Machado is also really valuable, and I think that those two together will dominate, but those two separately will just be good. Like, if that makes sense. Like, together they're the really, really good, but just by themselves, if the other one's out, they're just good. So, that's my thoughts on that. The next game we have to talk about is the Phillies, who beat the Braves 7-6 after a controversial call in the ninth inning, where replays show the catcher tagging the runner before he hit home plate, but the umpire called him safe. What should the MLB do about calls when this happens? And I'm going to start out with Chase.
I mean, I don't think baseball's ever had a review, have they? Like a review system like the NFL, where they go back and they look at it.
I think they
do a little bit, because I remember going to games and them doing that. I don't think it's as overturning as the NFL can be.
Yeah, it's there, but I don't think it's like as used as the NFL.
But I feel like adding something like that would ruin the aspect of baseball, because like when they decided to start using the camera for the balls and strikes to help the umpire, there was a whole bunch of controversy about that. I don't think switching all the way over to an instant replay or a replay that can overturn is something that the MLB should really invest in right now.
Yeah, and I think that would take away from baseball. Baseball, all sports are subject to bad calls.
Yes.
And I think it's just part of the game. I think that, especially in a sport like baseball, it's what the umpire sees. It's not what the camera sees. It's for us to watch, not for us to analyze. That's what the cameras are for. It's for us to watch. It's not for us to be mad if they make a bad call. It's their call. It's what they see. It's how they see it. And I think that especially in baseball, where it's so close every single time, that it should just – that it comes down that you shouldn't have a replay system like the NFL or the NBA. Anthony, what do you think the MLB should do, though?
I think the umpires should just take their time when reviewing it. They review it way too fast. They just talk to the people upstairs looking at the replay. I think maybe they need to get a monitor so that they can see it for themselves. I just think that's what they need to do. The monitor would really help them, the umpires officially.
I agree, but do you think that having reviews like that in baseball would take away from the game at all?
Well, only when it's necessary, like a pitch, like this player, like we saw in the Rangers game, whenever there were two stolen bases that looked out. I just think, you know, the monitors really help them decide what the right call is.
Yeah, but
you could also make the argument that baseball is already a really long game, and that it's already losing viewers every year because of how long of a game it is, and people are losing their attention to the game. I feel like that would just add length to the game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with what you said. It adds length to the game, and it's one of those things that should only be like, maybe you can't review until a certain point in the game, or something like that. Because if calls are a part of the game, then not everything needs to be perfect. Would I like everything to be perfect? Sure. Would I like every pass interference call to be called against my team in the NFL? Sure. Would I like every foul to be drawn against my team in the NBA? Yes. And would I like every single one of my players in the MLB to hit a home run? Of course. But we can't have that now, can we? The last game that we have to talk about is the New York Yankees, who beat the Blue Jays 3-1 as catcher Kyle Higashioka goes 2-for-3 with 2 homers and 3 RBIs and becomes the first catcher in MLB history with 3 multiple home run games within the first dozen career home runs, according to stats. Are the Yankees a strong contender for the World Series? I'm going to start out with Anthony on this one.
Considering that they're in the American League, I think anything's possible. But I just don't see them winning it all this year. I think there's too many strong teams in the National League. We obviously got the Padres, the Dodgers. I can see them making it. I mean, they still have to go through. I think the Astros are another strong contender. I just don't see them winning the World Series this year.
I tend to agree. Chase, what are your thoughts on it, though?
I think the Yankees are always a contender. I think, unless in years when they're really suspiciously down, but the Yankees are always a contender typically, and I think could definitely make it there.
Yeah, I think that the Yankees are always contenders, and if Aaron Judge is healthy, I think that they're definitely going to have a good shot at it. They also have Rougned Odor, who is one of the best boxers in the MLB. So that's worth something, I think.
I swear, use that joke again.
As we move over to basketball with some breaking news, as LaMarcus Aldridge shockingly retires after less than a month with the Nets due to some heart issues. And how does this impact the Nets and their ability to win in the playoffs? I'm going to start out with Anthony on this one.
I think it affects them massively because he was a great player off the bench or even when he started. And I think losing him now kind of loses that depth that they had. They're already a super team, and he just made them even better. And then now they lose him after a month. I just think it's really sad to see that what happened with him. But I think the Nets just need to rebuild, or not rebuild, but, you know, regroup and continue to go on with the ways that they're doing.
Chase, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Anthony on this one. Losing a good player is always bad, even if they're just coming off the bench. Definitely got to find another way to make it without him. But I don't think his impact will be that great on the team once they figure out how they're going to move on.
I disagree. I think his impact is going to be felt in the playoffs. I think a guy like him, he's a center who has a little bit of shooting ability. His defense isn't really there, but his scoring is there. And I think that in the playoffs, the veteran presence, the scoring presence from the center that's not just a finisher is very important. And then your two other centers that you have on the roster, and Nicholas Claxton and DeAndre Jordan, are both pure finishers with that are supposed to play defense, but DeAndre Jordan really doesn't play that good of defense anymore. So I think it's going to affect their ability to win in the playoffs. They're not a lock for me to win the East anymore after this loss, unless they go out and they get another center who I really like. If Boogie Cousins doesn't work out in Los Angeles, if he doesn't get an extension after his 10-day, I could see that being a good move, but not much past that. Another player that is injured, not as bad or unfortunate situation as LaMarcus Aldridge, is the Warriors confirmed that James Wiseman has torn his meniscus and is out for the rest of the season. And do you still think the Warriors can make the playoffs?
I think they're going to make the play-in. I think that's for sure. Not for sure, but I think they'll make the play-in. But I just don't see them getting past, you know, whether it's the Mavericks or the Trailblazers. Don't get me wrong, Curry is one of the best players in the NBA right now. But I think outside of him, there's not much else besides, you know, Kelly Oubre, who's subpar. I just don't think that they can compete with the Mavericks, with the Trailblazers, or even the Lakers, who might fall to that seventh seed.
Chase?
Definitely agree. I think Steph Curry is definitely a great player, but I don't think he can do it all by himself. He could probably make the play-in game, but I don't think they'll make it past a team who has more pieces around it.
I think that they're going to make the play-in game, but I think that what you just said about Kelly Oubre being the second person on that team is blasphemous. They have Draymond Green. They have Andrew Wiggins, who's not the greatest player ever, but he's decent, and Steph Curry. And yes, they just lost Wiseman, but those other guys are still important and an integral part of why Steph Curry and the Warriors are going to... I could see the Warriors making it to the playoffs. And yes, they'll probably get bounced in the first round, but I could easily see them making the playoffs. I think that what you said about Oubre being the second best player on that team really made me mad. Moving on, the Trailblazers beat the Pistons 118-103 as Enes Kanter gets 24 points and 30 rebounds. 30 rebounds. That's crazy. And as the Blazers fend off the 7th seed Mavs in the race for the top 6. Are you surprised at how well the Blazers are doing this season? I'm going to start out with Chase.
I'm definitely going to say yes. I think nobody really ever expects the Blazers to be very good, and definitely are.
I expected the Blazers to be good, but maybe not actual playoff contenders good. Anthony, are you surprised at how well the Blazers are doing this year or no?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, we kind of expected them. They made the playoffs each of the last 4 years, I think. Damian Lillard, obviously the superstar there, and his Kanter's coming up now. I think... you know, they've always been in the playoffs, but they've always been a one and done. I think this year they can actually, you know, find a way to get a win in the playoffs. We'll see. Win a series, but I think it'll be tough considering who else is in that division.
Yeah, not really surprised. I really had the Blazers making it deep in the playoffs this year. I thought last year, after the bubble, I said Damian Lillard has a really good shot at MVP. I think that Jusuf Nurkić, CJ McCollum, and I think that the most undervalued player on that team right now is Carmelo Anthony, that guy who can start. And I think now that he's accepted his role as I'm not the main scoring option, he gets in his groove and he hits those clutch shots. Him, Damian Lillard, and his veteran presence on the court is unmatchable, as well as Robert Covington, who I'm pretty sure is coming off the bench if he's playing. I don't know if he's injured, but I liked that trade when it happened. So I'm not really surprised at how good they're doing, but I could see why people would be surprised, given that last year, after the one and done in the playoffs, and maybe it was just a thing that happened in the bubble when they were playing well. Staying in the Western Conference, unfortunately, Jamal Murray tore his ACL and is out for the rest of the season. And how much will the Nuggets miss Jamal Murray as they set up to try to make a run in the playoffs? Anthony.
He'll be a huge miss. I mean, obviously, he had a lot of chemistry with Nikola Jokic and Aaron Gordon, who's finally finally starting there. I think that they had a lot of chemistry, and now losing your star player, it doesn't help them at all. I think Jamal Murray will be a big miss for them, especially in the playoffs, if they're trying to make it back to the Western Conference Finals.
I tend to agree. Chase, what are your thoughts? How big of a deal is this injury for the Nuggets?
I think it's a big deal. I mean, you could definitely see in the player's eyes when he got hurt, he's going to be missed.
Yeah, I think he's going to be missed. And I think that it definitely hurts more after in the Aaron Gordon trade, they traded away R.J. Hampton, who I think wasn't going to be the next starting point guard, but probably would have had a shot to win that job from whoever it is going to be now, whose name I'm blanking on. And the R.J. Hampton trade is really going to bite them after this, especially because in the playoffs you need a point guard who's a good passer, good defender, and I think that – or a good scorer. And Hampton checks the boxes for passer and defender, but not scorer. So I think it's a big miss, especially because they don't have very many other options at the guard position. Staying in the Western Conference and staying with big name teams, the 76ers beat the Dallas Mavericks as Embiid scored 36, and the Sixers reclaim the one seed ahead of the Brooklyn Nets, while the Mavs lose again and are now 3.5 games back from the sixth seed. Will the Sixers get the one seed, and is Embiid still in the MVP conversation? And I'm going to start with Anthony and on will the Sixers finish with the number one seed?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, they just beat the Nets, too. I think that's a huge win for them. Now they're, I think, 2 games ahead or 1.5 games ahead. I think the Sixers have always been a contender since they got Embiid and then Ben Simmons. I think that this team, I think they'll get the number one seed over the Nets, but not by a lot.
Chase, what do you think?
I definitely think that the 76ers will be ahead. I think it'll be a battle all the way to the finish for the number one seed. But Embiid definitely looked unstoppable against the Mavericks.
Yeah, I think that they're going to finish with the one seed. I think that the Nets are still trying to develop a chemistry because they acquired James Harden midseason. KD didn't play last year. Kyrie is doing whatever the heck it is Kyrie does. And I think that they just need a little while to get that chemistry. And I think that after the first round of the playoffs, assuming they play a team that's easy to beat, such as the Bulls, if the Bulls win the play-in games, I think that it's a very real possibility that I could see both ways. I just think that the Sixers are going to get it because they already have that chemistry and they know that it's how important the number one seed is in the playoffs, especially after the whole Kawhi stopping them from winning a championship thing. Because if Kawhi doesn't hit that shot, the Sixers win the championship, in my personal opinion. And is Embiid still in the MVP conversation, Chase?
Yes.
Yes? Very good answer. Anthony, why is Embiid still in the MVP conversation?
I mean, game in, game out, he's putting in clutch performances. He's over 30 points a game. I think that he'll always be in the conversation. He keeps playing like this.
I think he's in conversation for MVP just because he's a monster. He can do everything. He can defend at a high level. He's a top 5 defender in the NBA. He can score at a high level from all different parts of the court. He can shoot. He can finish. He can do everything. And he's just a big he's in the MVP conversation, no doubt about it. Moving on, the Washington Wizards upset the Utah Jazz 125-121 as Bradley Beal scores 34 and Westbrook gets a 25-point triple-double. And despite Donovan Mitchell scoring 42, the Jazz lose their third straight, their third in the last 10, pardon, and are only 1.5 games back of Phoenix in the West. And can the Jazz hang on to the number one seed? I'm going to start out with Chase on this one.
I think they definitely can. I think they can regain what they had earlier in the season. I don't think it's too big of a challenge for them.
I disagree, but I'm going to let Anthony go first.
Yeah, I agree with Chase. I think that they're way too good of a team to let it slip. I think the runs that they go on when they go on 9-10 game winning streaks clearly helps them. I think that's what they're going to do again. I think they'll win the West. I don't know. If they look at the number one seed, I could see them easily winning the West, though.
I think that Phoenix is going to finish with the number one seed. That team is so consistent. Chris Paul, I saw this meme and it made so much sense. He's like the Gordon Ramsay of the NBA. He goes to a team and that team automatically gets better. Like, as Gordon Ramsay goes to a restaurant and makes it better. But I think that the Jazz, they're just they're having spurts of inconsistency, which I think is going to bite them in the end, while the Phoenix Suns have been consistent all year. So I think that Phoenix is going to finish with the number one seed. But before we move on to our next game, we have some breaking news, as defensive end Alden Smith has signed with the Seattle Seahawks on a one-year deal. I don't know the value of the deal yet, but what do y'all think of this signing? I'm going to start with Chase on this one.
I think it's a pretty good signing. He played all right with the Cowboys last year. He had like 50 pressures and 5 sacks, I think it was, coming off of not playing in 4 years.
Yeah.
I think it was a pretty good signing, depending on how much they paid him. But Seattle Seahawks in that division could always use a pass rusher, a lot of good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and an offensive lineman.
Yeah, they need an offensive lineman, but not really any of the good ones left. Eric Fisher's still on the market.
Eric Fisher, Mitchell Schwartz, both of the Chiefs tackles are still on the market. Granted, one of them has an Achilles injury, but
yeah, but I feel like the Seahawks will definitely end up signing one of them. But right now, I think Alden Smith's a good signing.
I agree, Anthony. What are your thoughts on the Smith signing?
I think it's an okay signing. I think they did need some pass rush help. I just don't know if Alden Smith can be that same guy he was a year ago with the Cowboys. Don't get me wrong; he was a really good defensive player, which is very odd to say about the Cowboys. But I mean, he was always consistent, and I think he'll go in there and help out that defense. But again, like you guys said, O-line is still their biggest need.
Yeah, I like the signing. I think that pass rush is a big thing in that division with all the quarterbacks. But as you said, their O-line is their biggest need. However, there isn't really any available. So I like the signing. I bolster on their defense, which they really need after losing Shaquille Griffin. I always mess up the two Griffin twins. As we leave the breaking news and go back to basketball, the Celtics beat the Trailblazers behind Jason Tatum's 32 and Jaylen Brown's 24. And the Celtics have now won 4 straight, and the Blazers are now 31-23 and sit 6th in the West. And can the Celtics turn things around this season and play with consistency in the playoffs? I'm going to start with myself on this one. I really like the Celtics. I don't know why they haven't been playing consistent. My first theory is that just the time between the end of the bubble and the start of the season, I think that's why teams like the Knicks and the Hawks have started playing well, is because they don't have as much wear on their body in the last year that teams like the Heat, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Bucks, the Nuggets, teams like that, they don't have the same wear that those teams had because they weren't invited to the bubble. They hadn't played basketball in over a year, in almost a year before the NBA restarted. Well, teams like the Lakers had less than 3 months. So I think that the Celtics will make some noise in the playoffs if they just get consistent. But, Anthony, do you think the Celtics will be able to make noise in the playoffs?
I think they can, yeah. I think they'll be the number five seed. And I just think that the team's finally starting to click. Jason Tatum's getting back to his superstar form. Jaylen Brown's getting up there. Marcus Smart, Kemba Walker helping him out. I think the Celtics are finally starting to click, and I think they'll be good come playoff time.
I agree. Chase, what do you think?
I think they can definitely make some noise in the playoffs. The thing you said about the Miami Heat and the Lakers, you could see LeBron and Cousins have both been injured this year.
Yeah, LeBron and AD.
AD, yeah. Sorry. But, yeah, they both missed significant time this year. LeBron's hurt, still hurt right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Celtics, well-rested beginning of the year. Didn't really deal with much injuries, right?
They lost Smart and Walker for a little bit at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but I think they can definitely make some noise. Underdog team.
Underdog team. And I think that there's some good depth on that team. The final game we had to talk about is the game that happened last night. The Mavericks versus the Grizzlies, where Luka hits an unbelievable game winner as he gets 29 and the Mavs improve to 30-24 and keep the race close for the sixth seed in the playoffs. And the sixth seed is important this year because it guarantees you a spot in the playoffs. While if you finish with the 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th seed, you're entered into the play-in games. But this still leaves the Grizzlies in the top 10 and put them in contention for the playoff game. And can the Grizzlies make the playoffs if they make it to the play-in games? And I'm going to start with Anthony on this one.
I mean, I think they definitely have the potential to. John Morant's been playing really good, like always. I think, you know, they have the pieces. They just haven't had the performances. I think they'll make the play-in games, and you know, they'll probably be playing the 8th seed, which right, I don't even know who it is right now, but I think it's the Spurs. I just think that this team, they're almost ready to compete. In a year time, I think they'll be in the playoffs.
Chase, what do you think? Do you think the Grizzlies will make the playoffs if they make the play-in games?
I think they definitely have the potential to. I think whatever play-in game they have will definitely be close, but they definitely have the potential to.
And I don't exactly know how the play-in games work. I think that 7 will be playing 10 and 8 will be playing 9, and then, or something like that. I think that if it is like that, at the current moment, the Grizzlies would have to play the Warriors, and I just don't see the Warriors winning any kind of series against the Grizzlies. I mean, the Grizzlies winning any kind of series against the Warriors. Steph in the playoffs is a different breed, and Draymond in the playoffs is a different breed. In 2016, if LeBron hadn't been LeBron, Draymond was going to win Finals MVP. He was playing amazing that year. So I think that the Grizzlies could make the playoffs, but I think that they just need to not have to play the Warriors in the play-in games to do it. Assuming that's how they work, I don't completely understand them. As we move into game picks, we're going to have not very many game picks this week. We're going to start out with the Kings versus the Suns. Anthony, who are you taking on this one?
I think it'll be the Suns. I think the Kings will put up a fight, but I just think Phoenix is too complete for them.
I think the Suns are a better team.
I think it's going to be the Suns. I do think De'Aaron Fox is going to play well, though. He's been playing amazing. Just Luke Walton's terrible, and there's no talent really on that team, minus Fox, Halliburton, and sometimes Fox, Halliburton, Holmes, and sometimes Buddy Hield. The next game, which I think could be interesting, is the Bucks versus the Hawks. Chase, who do you think's going to win this one?
I'm going to pick the Hawks. I feel like Trae Young isn't injured, right?
He's not injured.
Yeah, I thought – for some reason I thought he was, but I definitely think Trae Young will have a big game.
I could see it. Anthony, who do you think is going to win this game?
It could go either way, I think. I don't know if Giannis is still out, but if he is, then I think the Bucks can still pull through. Actually, I'm going to go with the Bucks all the way. I think that they're a much better team than the Hawks, and I think that even without Giannis, they can still win and compete.
I think that the Hawks have something – they're out to prove something right now. They've been playing amazing since they fired Lloyd Pierce. I mean, before they were just a deep lottery team at like the 13th, 14th seed, and since they fired Lloyd Pierce, they now have a winning record and are in serious playoff talks. So I have the Hawks winning this game, regardless of if Giannis plays or not. I think that the Hawks team is complete as far as the positions filled and complementary. Off the bench or starting, you have Herter or Bogdanovich at the two, who's a great complement to Trae Young, who's a ball-dominant player. They're the catch-and-shoot guys. At the small forward position starting, you have Cam Reddish or DeAndre Hunter, who are both pretty good finishers, which complements, again, Trae Young and Bogdanovich. I just think this team complements each other really well, so that's why the Hawks are going to win. The next game is the Celtics versus the Lakers. Who are y'all taking? I'm going to start with Anthony.
I think it'll be the Celtics. I think that the Lakers are still missing too many players, and I know that AD might be back very soon, but I just think that the Celtics, they're on the streak right now.
I'm going to agree with Anthony all the way. Celtics a better team right now.
Yeah, the Celtics are definitely the better team right now. And the most hype in the final game that we're going to pick today is the Clippers versus the 76ers, and I'm going to start with Chase on this one.
I think the 76ers have been playing well as of recently, and I think very well recently, and I think they'll definitely pull through.
Anthony?
Yeah, I agree with Chase. I think the Sixers are way better. I just think that the Clippers aren't really having that potential right now, so give me the Sixers big.
I like the Clippers. They've been playing amazing since the All-Star break. I'm going to go with them here. I think that they're going to – it's going to be a really fun game to watch, but I think the Clippers are going to pull it out. And that is all we have for this week. We'll come back next week, and we'll have a lot more draft conversations about prospects and where we think they're going to land. And we might even do a first-round mock draft. We'll see y'all next week.